So in our first reading today, we have the privilege of hearing what is often described as the greatest example of a short story in Western literature. So we read from the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis, and it was one of those passages that the rabbis would discuss among themselves more than any of the other passages. And so it begins here. It says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. So we as the reader have an insight into this passage while Abraham himself is left in the dark. God said to him, Abraham, here I am. Then God said, take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Take your son. And in case Abraham's not quite sure which son he means, God says, your only son, the son you love. Now, Isaac was only born at the beginning of chapter 21 in the book of Genesis. After this long time of waiting, back in Genesis 12, Abraham was a wealthy man with his wife Sarah living there in the Ur of the Chaldeans. And the Lord called him and said, go to a land which I will show you, for I propose to make you the father of a great nation. Again in Genesis 15, the Lord reminds Abraham that he will be a father of a multitude. And then he waits and he waits for almost a whole generation while he and Sarah continue to grow old. And so it's humanly impossible that they should be the parents of this chosen son, the one who would be the fulfillment of this promise. And then finally the Lord comes to Sarah and says, yes, next year you will be the mother of a son. And so then Isaac is finally born, and you could imagine their delight, their just wonder, and the gift of a child finally coming into their lives. And so then what must Abraham be thinking now when he is invited? And it has this sense of invitation. The text doesn't say please, but in the Hebrew text it has that sense. The Lord he knows the gravity of what he's asking of Abraham. And so he says, you know, please, will you take your son, your only son, the son you love? Sometimes the Bible is described as the great book of love, or the world's greatest love story. And yet, until this point in the book of Genesis, the word love does not appear. This is the first time in Scripture that we come across the word love. So it's as if the writers are wanting to withhold this word until this point. Again, just to emphasize, this is the one that the Lord is calling Abraham to sacrifice. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out to the place God had told him about. Now, normally you'd think that you'd cut the wood first. You'd prepare the wood and get that all ready, and only then would you load the donkey. So it's kind of the sense that Abraham is so conflicted. He's not doing things logically, rationally. He's all confused and just kind of running all over the place as he's just trying to prepare himself and for this great journey. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. So this journey, it's taken 3 days to get there. So he and Isaac and these two lads, the text says, have made this long journey. And so they've set up camp, prepared a campfire, prepared food to eat, and then had this conversation. You know, imagine what they would have been talking about. Isaac would have been just saying, oh, you know, it was a nice walk today. You know, we saw all these interesting things, and I saw this, you know, hare over there, and I saw some, you know, whatever. Imagine what Abraham must have been thinking, and what his heart must have been breaking as he was just chatting, as if nothing was happening, as if everything was just normal and usual. And yet he knows that in just a short time, he was going to have to sacrifice his son Isaac. Imagine the heart of Abraham in the midst of all of this. So he says to his servants, Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we'll come back to you. So Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the flint or the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father, yes, my son, the fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. Abraham receives this prophetic insight. Abraham, in his obedience, in his trust, we call him often Abraham, our father in faith, or the father of our faith. Abraham knows somehow, deep inside him, that if he goes through this terrible, heinous crime, if he goes and is prepared to actually sacrifice his son, that somehow God will make it right. God will in some way, indeed, provide the lamb. And so there's this hint here in Scripture. They begin to look for the lamb. They begin to see, how will God provide this? How will God answer this prophetic insight that Abraham receives? And it's at this point I'll call my assistants. So when they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. So Lachlan has agreed to be our Isaac today. He tells me that Matthew often ties him up and that he can't get out of the ropes when he does. So we'll see what happens. Now, we don't know how old Isaac is at this point. I said he was born at the beginning of chapter 21. At the end of 21, it simply says a long time passed while Abraham and Sarah stayed there in Beersheba. So sometimes we imagine Isaac to be just a little child, you know, a 5 or 6 year old. He's old enough to carry the wood, and it must have been a substantial enough wood to build a fire to sacrifice a lamb or a sheep. And so, come on, more rope. But perhaps Isaac indeed was Lachlan's age, or perhaps even a little bit older. Perhaps he was, you know, old enough to know what was happening. I mean, just imagine what is going through Isaac's mind at this point. What is he thinking as Abraham is tying him up, as he's preparing him? He suddenly realizes, oh my gosh, there is no lamb. I am the sacrifice. And yet he allows himself, as willingly as Lachlan is doing it right now, to be tied up, to be bound. He agrees to this offering. He agrees to this sacrifice. Okay, I think that's enough. I'm tying. So you can now lay him down on the ground. So he bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. So he's here. Again, imagine what is going through his mind as he's there holding the knife of sacrifice above the son that he loves, his only son, prepared to reach down. I mean, the way that you would sacrifice an animal would be to slit the throat. So he's there ready to just to do this heinous crime. He's prepared in his obedience to go through this to the very end. And it's only then that, as he's reaching down with the knife to do this terrible act, that's right, Mum, then that the hand of the angel says, "No, I know that you were prepared. I know that you were willing to go through with this." And it's then that they see over in the bushes a ram caught by its horns there in the bushes. Thanks, Lockie. You can get up. Now you've got to untie him. "Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Now, what is interesting in this story is that we're told that God will provide the lamb. And yet what is caught in the bushes is not a lamb, but a ram. So the rabbis then search the scriptures to see, well, Abraham knew that God himself will provide the lamb. Where is the lamb? Where does God actually come through with this promise? Where is the lamb provided for this sacrifice? And then at the beginning of the Gospel of John, when John the Baptist is there in his ministry with his disciples, and he sees Jesus coming in the distance, and John the Baptist turns to his disciples and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Jesus himself takes up the wood. Just as Isaac had to carry the wood of the offering, so Jesus takes the wood of the cross. Jesus himself is the fulfillment of this longing. Jesus himself is the one who answers our deepest desire. Jesus himself is the son Isaac that in this case the father had to sacrifice. There was no angel to hold back the hand of God. There was no angel to say, "I've seen that you have been prepared to offer in sacrifice this most powerful gift, the gift of your only son, your son Jesus, whom you love." God the Father says, "I want to stop my hand, but I will go through with this sacrifice to demonstrate to us how much he loves us, how much he's prepared to give of himself." And like Isaac, choosing to be bound, Jesus chose to carry the cross. Jesus chose to take on all of these things for us and for our salvation. And then in the Eucharist, we get to offer him back to the Father. We get to hold him up and say, "Lord, thank you for this precious gift. Thank you for the gift of your Son. Thank you for the Lamb of God that has become for us our salvation, our gift, our sign of your love, a sign of all that you have been prepared to give for us." Lord, help us as we journey through this season of Lent to truly offer ourselves, to truly give of ourselves to you, to allow us to become more and more closely aligned with the image of your Son. Help us to give thanks every day for the precious gift of the Lamb that has been offered, the Lamb provided for us and for our salvation. Amen.